Writers and artists were to arise and bring a new birth to learning and art, where also daring seamen were to be trained, like Columbus, Cabot, and Vespucius, to discover in later times the new world. In France, the citizens showed their skill by building those beautiful Gothic cathedrals which are still so much admired. In the towns of Germany and Holland, clever workmen invented and developed the art of printing, and so made possible the learning and education of today. The civilization of modern times, indeed, owes a great debt to these old towns and their sturdy inhabitants. Let us see now what those privileges were which the townsmen got, and which enabled them to help on the world's progress so much. To us these privileges would not seem so very great. In hundreds of towns in France the lords granted only such rights as the following. 1. The townsmen shall pay only small, fixed sums for the rent of their lands, and as a tax when they sell goods, etc. 2. They shall not be obliged to go to war for their lord, unless they can return the same day if they choose. 3. When they have lawsuits, the townsmen shall not be obliged to go outside the town to have them tried. 4. No charge shall be made for the use of the town oven, and the townsmen may gather the dead wood in the lord's forest for fuel. 5. The townsmen shall be allowed to sell their property when they wish, and leave the town without hindrance from the lord. 6. Any peasant who remains a year and a day in the town, without being claimed by his lord, shall be free. In other places the townsmen got, in addition, the right to elect their own judges, and in still others they got the right to elect all their officers. Towns of this latter class were sometimes called communes. Over them the lord had very little right, except to receive such sums of money as it was agreed should be paid to him. In some places, as in Italy, these communes became practically independent, and had as much power as the lords themselves. They made laws, coined money, and had their vassals, and waged war just as the lords did. But there was this important difference. In the communes, the rights belonged to the citizens as a whole, and not to one person. This made all the citizens feel an interest in the town affairs, and produced an enterprising, determined spirit among them. At the same time, the citizens were trained in the art of self-government in using these rights. In this way, the world was being prepared for a time when governments like ours, of the people, for the people, and by the people, should be possible. But this was to come only after many, many years. The townsmen often used their power selfishly, and in the interest of their families and their own class. Often the rich and powerful townsmen were as cruel and harsh toward the poorer and weaker classes as the feudal lords themselves. Fierce and bitter struggles often broke out in the towns between the citizens who had power and those who had none. Often, too, there were great family quarrels, continued from generation to generation, like the one which is told of in Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet. In Italy there came in time to be two great parties called the Guelphs and the Ghibellines. At first there was a real difference in views between them, but by and by they became merely two rival factions.